For new college graduates, the job search is underway, and 1.4 million of them are crafting resumes, breaking in that new suit, and rehearsing those tricky interview questions. By most accounts, 2006 is a great year to enter the job market. The National Association of Colleges and Employers reports that companies are hiring 14% more new college grads than last year, and they're paying more, too. For the first time in about 5 years, companies report stiff competition for the best and the brightest, and many graduates find themselves in a position to negotiate. Today, we'll look at this job market for new college graduates. Next week, we'll consider the market for high school graduates on another program. But today, we'll talk to an economist about who's hiring, what degrees are in demand, and what a first paycheck might look like. And a vice president at Pitney Bowes will share her thoughts on the unusual challenges of managing Generation Y. If you just graduated, call and tell us about your experience with the job search. If you're an employer, how have things changed for you? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. Later in the program, marketing slogans for cities, states, and towns, and we have an email challenge for you. Send us suggestions for your hometown, and we'll bounce it off the experts. How about Hartford? You bet your life. The address is talk@npr.org. But first, the market for new college grads. Mark Zandi is chief economist at moodyseconomy.com. He joins us now from the studio at Audio Post in Philadelphia. Nice to have you back on the program, Mark.
It's good to be with you, Neil.
So why is this such a good year to graduate from college?
Well, there's lots of jobs. Businesses are in great financial shape. Profits have never been better. Their balance sheets are pristine. It's really not a question of can they hire. It's really are they willing, and increasingly they are, and they're out scouring colleges looking for graduates.
Mm-hmm. And who is hiring? I mean, everybody or certain sectors?
Well, it is broad-based, and that's one of the strengths of the current job market. Healthcare, financial services, accounting, legal services, leisure, hospitality, distribution, technology, even government's out hiring. There are a few soft spots. There aren't too many new jobs in manufacturing. And I think we'll see fewer jobs created in housing and housing-related industries. But broadly speaking, there's a lot of jobs in lots of different industries and occupations and in most parts of the country.
Mm-hmm. So even liberal arts majors, there's hope for them?
There's hope for everyone. Yeah, they may not get the same pay as someone getting a computer engineering degree or an accounting degree, but I think they'll find that the job market is good for them as well.
When economists look at the unemployment figures in the country, and it's the last I looked, it's somewhere between 4% and 5%. That they say that's just about full employment.
That's right. The unemployment rate today is 4.7%. That is consistent with a job market that is operating full out at capacity. If you go back a couple, 3 years ago, when the job market was soft, the unemployment rate was north of 6%. So this is a pretty good read. And for college folks with a college degree, the unemployment rate is about 2-2.5%. So even better job market for them.
So what kind of salaries in this seller's market can new college graduates expect?
Well, I think sort of at the top of the end of the compensation scale, people will be getting annual pay that's $55,000 a year, which is really quite good. Just to give you context, the median household income in the United States, meaning half the households make above this and half less, is about $50,000. So college graduates sort of at the top of the pay scale are getting the median for households nationwide.
And again, I assume that varies industry to industry.
It does, and it, of course, varies quite a bit by where you are in the country. Folks that are going to work in New York City are going to get paid a lot more than those that work in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm. And are these jobs with benefits?
Yes, increasingly so. It really is a good market, a market where the grads can ask for lots of things that they could have asked for them a couple of years ago, but they wouldn't have gotten them. Now they can, and that would include not only a good pay scale, but signing bonuses and health care benefits. I don't think people are going to get defined benefit plans. They're sort of evaporating. But, you know, good 401k plans, all those benefits that all of us like and want, this year will be a good year to get them.
And I've read that, in fact, we read more and more about, you know, in the process of getting into college, more people are going more and more for early admissions. Companies, rather, are recruiting for early hires.
Yeah, businesses know that there's going to be a shortage, and there is a shortage of highly skilled, educated workers, and they're planning early and working hard to ensure that they have a good supply of those workers down the road. So it's a good market now, and you know there'll be ebbs and there'll be flows year by year. But broadly speaking, the job market for a college grad should be good. For the foreseeable future.
Well, let's get some listeners in on the conversation. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. How's the job market where you are if you're a recent graduate? And if you're an employer, what's it like to be looking for new employees at this time? Let's talk with Duncan. Duncan calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hi.
Hi.
I actually kind of disagree with the man that you're currently interviewing. I've been looking for the past year. I graduated last May from Willamette University, and I was an English major, and I've had a very tough time trying to find a job that would suit my abilities. I find that many other people who are in the same boat that I am. Our best option is to work as a barista or a waiter, when you know something that doesn't really use our education at all. And that's kind of upsetting to me. There's really not a next step in our society for graduates. It's or at least not a clear one that we should be taking. I feel very lost once we get into the job market.
Mark Zandi he's calling from Portland. Is the Pacific Northwest an area where people have more difficulty than maybe others?
No, the Northwest is doing quite well. Portland, Seattle are very strong economies, creating lots of jobs. I'm sorry to hear he's having so much difficulty.
Well, he says not just him, but his friends, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, I think perhaps it's worthwhile pointing out that this is the first year that the job market is as strong as it is. For the first part of this decade, of course, the economy was struggling more. We weren't creating a whole lot of jobs. We went through a recession. So it could still be he could still be feeling the ill effects of that. It may take another year or two before he starts to feel this and feel a stronger demand for his skills. The other thing to recognize is that if you go back a few years ago, 5, 10, 15 years ago, just a bachelor's degree would have been enough to succeed and do well, and perhaps that's all you needed for the rest of your career. Increasingly, that's less so. Often, people need to go back and get a higher degree or at least retool. And
very much so. I mean, I would agree very much at that point because, I mean, a lot of the jobs that actually are using education that I have a background in applicants that are PhDs. I'm applying for a job and sitting down for an interview, and there are 8 applicants, and there are 6 of them are PhDs, and there's me and another guy who, you know, young bucks in the office going, hey, well, if you want some creative, you know, young guys, that's us, but we really don't have any clout.
Well, good luck, Duncan. Hang in there.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Our next guest graduated from the University of Houston 3 weeks ago with a degree in creative writing and a minor in studio arts. Less than 2 weeks later, he landed a job that sounds almost too good to believe. Like Tom Hanks' character in the movie Big, he'll be getting paid to play with toys, Lego bricks to be exact. Jason Poland, Legoland's newest master builder, joins us now from member station KUHF in Houston, Texas. Nice to have you on the program today. Congratulations.
Hi, thanks for having me. Oh, thank you.
When did you first start playing with Legos?
My mom always says it's like before I even began to know how to read, she had to put together the first set she bought. So probably, you know, 2, I guess, even before the age limit requirement.
Well, as I understand, Lego had an opening for a master builder, and you and 22 other finalists flew to Carlsbad, California for a build-off.
Yeah, that's correct. And we had, in Dallas, we had a build-off here with a regional build with some people from the area. And then it was exciting to get to go out there to see the park and everything and compete with some other people and see what everyone got to build.
Mm-hmm. And how'd you do on the egg competition? Those round things are hard.
Yeah, they are. They're really hard. They handed us a Lego egg that they had created, and it was pretty stunning to see. And they gave us only 55 minutes. Mine ended up looking more like a football. So not so good.
Nevertheless, you're the freestyle competition, as I understand it, was the big deciding factor. And you came up with what exactly?
It was a fire-breathing snowman.
How'd you come up with that?
Well, I was just talking with Pat, the model shop manager, and he was really enforcing the sense of humor that a lot of the sculptures at Legoland California have, this sort of, you know, unexpected twist that he was looking for. And I saw this a bunny with a chainsaw at one of the attractions, and it kind of inspired me to have something that also had some innocent imagery coupled with kind of a maniacal twist with fire. So
this wasn't something you had in mind before you went out there?
No. It was something I kind of came up there on the spot. Like, we were able to tour the park. The prompt was that we needed to create something that we would like to see at the park that would be a welcome addition or something completely new. And so we got to see a little bit of the park before we got to select some choice bricks. Mm-hmm. And I like these translucent bricks. They looked, they had a nice light to them. And so I wanted to have something with fire. So I thought, what would be the most unlikely thing to breathe fire but a snowman?
So when do you start your new job?
July 4th.
July. That's a pretty auspicious day. You're planning to stay as a Legoland master builder for the rest of your career?
I hope so, and make the most of it while I'm out there and see how far I can go and just be as creative as possible at my new job.
And once you won the competition, I assume you brought in your agents and negotiated a huge salary?
Oh, my dad was telling me, you know, I needed to ask for more because the cost of living is pretty high in San Diego, but I think I'll be able to scrape by.
Well, you can see pictures of Jason at the Legoland competition on the Talk of the Nation webpage. Just go to npr.org. Jason Poland, good luck to you.
Oh, thank you.
Jason Poland is Legoland's newest master builder, one of only 21. And he joined us today from the studios of member station KUHF in Houston, Texas. Goes out to Southern California, as he mentioned, on July the 4th. We're talking about the hot job market for new graduates, and we'll take more of your calls after the break. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. This is supposed to be a very good year for new graduates looking for work. The job market is the best it's been in years. Today we're talking about who's hiring, who's not, and what grads want from their jobs. Later in the show, our email challenge. Send us your ideas for slogans for your city, town, or state. We'll ask an expert what he thinks about it. The email address is talk@npr.org. But let's continue talking about grads looking for work. Our guest is Mark Zandi, chief economist at moodyseconomy.com. Of course, you're invited to join us. 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's talk with Bob. Bob calling from Cincinnati.
Hi, happy to be on the show.
Oh, good. We're happy to have you.
Hey, my son, he just graduated this past year from Miami of Ohio, and most of his friends found jobs back in the fall.
Back in the fall?
And to the point where a lot of them were kind of hem-hawing, saying, oh, I don't really want to live in Pittsburgh. I think I'd rather live in Chicago. And they would hold off giving, finalizing on the job offer until they were happy that there was nothing else.
Well, I guess that's great news for them. I wonder, since they got these offers in the fall, was there an extended case of senioritis?
No, not really, because they all knew that they had to graduate in order to get the job. And Miami isn't that easy, and you have to continually be buckling down.
I don't know if people keep noses to grindstones anymore, but something along those lines anyway.
Yeah. And so they all, most of them, even one of his housemates who was an English major, he did find a job.
All right. Mark Zandi, let me ask you, as companies when do they start appreciating the idea that they're going to have to go hiring people in October and November if they hope to get them to come to work in June or July?
Well, I think this is new. This is really this year. Again, if you go back a couple, 3-4 years ago, there was plenty of folks that were not working, looking for work. In fact, the job market was so bad that many kids stayed in school longer and went back to school because they couldn't find a job. Mm. So this is really very recent. It's now. And the psychology has shifted, though, quite significantly to the point where businesses are starting to worry about shortages again and are doing things like what this caller experienced. Mm. It is an interesting, though, to point out that he's from the part of the country that is whose economy is the weakest, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana. Those economies are struggling quite a bit with the layoffs at GM and Ford, and that is the weakest job market in the country.
Hmm. Well, Bob, congratulations.
Well, if only my son. He had two job offers but decided to stay in the playpen of college and is going on to grad school.
There are some mixed emotions about that, I suspect.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the call.
Have a great day.
Here's an email from Jason from the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. I graduated in the spring of 2005 with honors, and just like more than a dozen friends that I keep in close touch with, I have the same job I did as a student. There's just one of us who now has a job earning more than $20,000, and that's as a controller. Despite what your guest statistics say, there ain't no jobs for us graduates. It's the idea that we've been told throughout our lives that graduating from college is an integral part of qualifying for a good career is a myth, he says.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I think you should give it another shot. I think you'll find the market a lot better today than back a year or two ago. And you might have a little bit better luck if he tries now.
And here's another email. This from Chartain. I am a 2006 computer science graduate. It feels so weird for so many companies to seek me out instead of vice versa. It definitely feels great to be able to ask for a higher pay than I would have made 2 years ago. So I guess this is all pretty mixed.
Yeah, technology is very interesting because that was, of course, a sector that got creamed back in the early part of the decade in the dot-com bust, and it's now making its way back and hiring again aggressively for the first time since the beginning of the decade. And that's a very good thing because these are generally high-paying jobs.
Let's talk with Terrence. Terrence calling from Reno, Nevada.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I'd just like to share a little experience. I recently graduated, and I went for my first job, and I negotiated a substantial amount more than what they were originally offering. And so I feel like a lot of people need to, before they, you know, attend school, kind of foresee the future and look at what markets are going to actually be paying the most. And unfortunately, every market is not going to have the demand every year, you know.
Hmm. When you say substantially more, we promise radio reception at the IRS is very poor. How much more, Terrence?
Well... They were offering me on an hourly rate about $60 in the beginning, and I went up to about $75 plus a $6,000 sign-on bonus from about $4,000. So.
And your specialty is?
Engineering.
Engineering.
Yeah.
All right. Mark Zandi, we hear all kinds of complaints about lack of engineers. I guess Terrence is in a position of power.
Yeah, he is. Sounds pretty good. A great negotiator, too. So maybe he's an engineer business person.
All right, Terrence, congratulations.
Hey, thanks.
For the most part, this year's college graduates were born in the 1980s, make up what's called Generation Y. They grew up with computers, recycling, and corporate downsizing. Our next guest says that as a result of those and other cultural influences, these graduates can present some unusual management challenges. Jonna Torsone is a senior vice president and chief human resources officer of Pitney Bowes, and she's with us from the Fairmont Southampton Hotel in Bermuda, where she's attending a company leadership conference. And we're glad we could tear you away from either the meeting or the beach, either one.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be with you.
You recently wrote an essay for the Philadelphia Inquirer in which you said Generation Y is going to change the way we work. How come?
Well, I think you mentioned the fact that they grew up with a series of different experiences from the generation before them. They were a group of young people whose mothers streamed more aggressively into the workforce. They saw a lot of job security go away. They experienced the dot-com boom. They were the first generation that experienced, came into the workforce, the 9/11. So a lot of different mindsets around the view of work and life. And there have been several human resources organizations that have been looking at this for a while. But the Center for Family and Work Institute actually has been doing an empirical study of these attitudes of young people in the difference between those that were under the age of 23 in 1992 versus those that have, you know, come to the, those ages in 2002, and very different attitudes. Their value placed of family versus work, their willingness to take on responsibilities at a level that will interfere with that, very different attitude. Their desire to have feedback and a sense of community and meaning in their work. All of those things are a bit of a difference in terms of attitude that I think, frankly, you know, I wasn't convinced of when I started to see these studies, but as I've done focus groups with different age groups in our workforce and have had the opportunity both to interface with my own children who are in this generation and with some of our employees in this group, some of it rings true.
Yet, of course, it's always difficult to categorize an entire generation.
Exactly. I mean, you think that this is a stereotypic, and to some degree it is, but there are some, as I said, empirical evidence of the fact that there are some of these differences.
Well,
the other thing is this is a group that you know, has grown up with the Internet, has grown up with technology in a whole different way than some of the generations before them, and they would ask a question like, well, why couldn't I work from home? If I have the right equipment, I could work from anywhere. And they will ask some of those questions.
I'm interested in that you posed it as an either-or, that they were interested in meaning in their jobs, but don't necessarily want responsibility.
Well, it's a question of how much they want. And they're going to be I think that's the challenge for leaders and managers, thinking about how they're going to attract and retain young people who seemingly have, you know, sometimes contradictory objectives. And we did it's interesting. We did a census of our entire workforce of all ages, asking them about the things that matter to them in work and life. And we gave them a whole host of types of work-life programs that they could choose from in a forced field way. And what we found was that there were sort of strong sentiments of different things based on different age components. But the stream that ran through all of them was the need or the desire for flexibility around some of the issues in their life that matter to them. The thing that was striking about the studies that have been coming out about this Generation Y is when you pose the question to them, how much time do they want to spend in the work versus life involvement, and what kind of involvement both men and women want to have in involvement with their children. It's a quantitatively different picture than we saw with the baby boomer generation.
Let's get a listener on the line. This is Shay calling from Los Angeles.
Hi. My comment is that I just graduated from the University of Minnesota with a master's in healthcare administration in May of 2005, and I moved to California and took on a fellowship, year-long fellowship with a major not-for-profit in California, and I'm in the process of now looking for jobs, and what I'm finding in talking with my peers is that my generation is demanding a different style of life than the previous generation, especially the baby boomers. Like, we're wanting a more, I think, European style where we work from Monday through Thursday and not the entire day or work virtually. And a lot of people that I know who are looking for jobs now are demanding quality of life. That means that we're not necessarily going to move to where the job is. We want the job to be in prime locations, and we know that the field is abundant. I've had a great experience in looking for jobs within the organization that I work for and beyond, and I just know that they're important things now. I know the previous guest mentioned 9/11 and the effect that it had on work-life balance. And, you know, I really value being able to take the weekends and actually live. And I often ask myself, am I working to live or living to work? And I think that you'll find that my generation is working to live. And we're not interested in necessarily doing the Monday through Friday 60-hour weeks that a lot of people have in the past, but But I would disagree and say that I do want a lot of responsibility and a lot of diversity and a lot of challenges in my job, but I know that I can do it efficiently in a time that doesn't require me to bust my tail working hard days.
Jonna Torsona, I think you can rest your case.
I was just going to say that. Now, here's the interesting thing. I think that as the statistics would show, the demographic statistics would show, as the baby boomer generation transitions, the amount of the degree of availability of skill and capability coming in is as a lesser amount. So they're going to be in a position to demand some of these things, and they're going to challenge, you know, companies like our own to say, well, you need to think about what we're asking. Now the question is, do you get less efficiency? Will you get less productivity? And that is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there are studies that also show that this caller that just called in is not wrong. You can do things in a way that are balanced, and actually over time, the studies show you can be more productive, you will be less burned out, and you will actually make better balanced decisions about business.
Shay, it sounds like you can rest your case too.
Well, I guess I feel we should probably meet, because it sounds like we have a lot in common.
Well, that would be great.
Shay, thanks very much for the call. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
We're talking about the job market for recent college graduates. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get Robbie on the line. Robbie is calling out from Salisbury in Maryland on the Eastern Shore.
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi.
I look at this in a completely different way. I'm a small business owner, and I see what this young woman just said is prime generation why bother.
So you're having difficulty getting your employees to focus, is what you're saying, Robbie? Are you?
Well, no, I'm having trouble finding people who understand that you can't start your career at the top of the ladder, and that there's such a sense from these people of entitlement that they don't want to work. They want to work 4 days a week. They don't want to work, you know, if you're in public relations and marketing like I am, the job entails some nights and weekends. And they don't want to hear that.
Hmm.
And on top of which, I'm having a difficult time finding college-educated people who can actually write. Hmm. And they still want top dollar.
Mark Zandi, let me bring you into this. I know you're not a sociologist, but have you had any experience with this?
Well, I gave you my 3 cents, Neil. I'm an economist. You know, we have opinions on everything.
Good.
Well, you know, I'm a small business owner myself, about 100 employees. I hire 5 to 10 college graduates every year. I see both sides of this. You know, I see the workforce, the younger kids want flexibility, and I can understand it. And they also want to do meaningful work, I can see those demands. But I also sense the small business owner's angst when she says there's a sense of entitlement as well. I've sensed that also.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'd like to point out, it's not this change in attitude is not only young people. It's boomers who are approaching retirement and going into retirement. They are thinking in roughly the same way. They don't want to give up work. But they certainly don't want to work in the same way they did all their careers. They want flexibility, but they do want to participate. So, you know, I think the boomer generation is changing, and its attitudes are changing as well.
Well, Jonna,
can I interrupt for a second?
Go ahead quickly.
Well, I think what the difference is I'm 43 years old. I'm the tail of the boomer generation, and I feel like I, after 22 years of working, have earned the right to decide how many hours I'm going to work a day. I don't feel that someone coming in from college has earned anything but a degree.
Jonna Torsona, quickly, your response to that?
Well, first of all, let me say I agree with the gentleman that talked about the same sort of attitudes developing among the baby boomers. But I just think it's a question of the reality of supply and demand. We will have to learn how to adjust and attract and teach this generation, and it's going to be a reality for us to respond to. I do think that if you have the kind of work that challenges them, that they get involved in and they're passionate about, they will work whatever, they will do what it takes. And what they're saying is, we believe we can use the tools that are available to this generation in terms of technology and efficient ways of doing things to make work smarter as opposed to just more.
Robbie,
they're going to challenge us to do that, and I think we're going to have to be prepared to think about how to do that.
Robbie, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And John at Torsone, we'll let you get back to your meetings. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks.
John at Torsone, Senior Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer of Pitney Bowes Incorporated, and Mark Zandi, Chief Economist at MoodysEconomy.com, who was with us from Audio Post in Philadelphia. Thanks to you, as always.
Thank you.
When we come back from a short break, selling your city, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, give us a snappy slogan for your hometown. Send it to talk@npr.org. This is NPR News.